I want to talk about something today that is important. And not only important, I think it's pivotal to understand in our life. Do you know that we are not in control? Some of you are like, really? As much as we try, as much as we attempt to control situations, God always finds a way to get us out of that little box and out of our control. Now, when it happens, those of us who like to control things think, wow, God, do something. And he's like, I am. He wants to get us past the point of our ideas, our thoughts, our plans, our direction, and into his. You see, the scripture says when someone does something against you, that you bust him in the nose. It says you turn the other cheek. Now, as much as you want to hit that person, and believe me, I have felt that way before. I broke someone's nose one time. Everybody's like, are you serious? With my fist. That was in high school one time. But I should have turned the other cheek. But man, it felt good. You see, he wants to get us to a place where we don't think the way we have been programmed to think. In our society, you take a baby, and the first thing that they do, it's mine. And you put another baby with that baby, and they just naturally start fighting over it. That's our human nature. But God is not human. God is divine, and his royal blood flows through your veins. So his nature now is our nature. We can take on his nature because of the cross. That's a powerful thing. We don't have to live in our nature if we allow him to change us. He is the potter. We are the clay. I had something up here. Several of you went on the mission trip we did to Mexico. We're planning another one soon. When we left, they gave me this vase. Where's my Mexicans in here? Ah, yeah, okay. Linda, sí? Me encanta mucho. So the vase is not made by machine. It's made by hands. They actually get clay, and they put it through a process, and they paint it, and it's a beautiful vase. So now Martin busted my bubble this morning and said, I don't think you can put water in this vase. But after service, I'm going to test it out. But it's still pretty. I want to talk about a story in the Bible, and you guys have heard me preach this, but it's a little bit different today. Father, I just pray that you direct me exactly where I'm supposed to go, and that you give me clear direction in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Could you start that for me? Okay, great. Do you know that you are dirt? Is that you again? 2 weeks in a row now, hello. Last week it was a GPS. So, the pastor at the gathering place tells you are dirt. Praise God. But we are clay. You know, Adam's name means red earth. Clay. So, we get an idea of we're so mighty, but we're really just clay. And God wants to form that clay into what he wants to form. It's not the clay that's important, although it is. It's necessary. It's the potter that's so important. You see, he's the one doing the work. All we have to do is allow him to mold us. There's a song that we used to sing in the Baptist church. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. So we have to submit to that and let him make us into those vessels. In 2 Corinthians it says, we possess the treasure of God in our earthen clay vessels. So we possess God's richest treasure in us. That confounds me. How the God who created everything pours himself into me. How powerful is that? That's where self-esteem comes in. You can go to any seminar about your self-esteem, but when you get a glimpse of what he's done in our life and who he is, and because of him, I now am worth something. Ooh, that's powerful. That will preach. When we were in Ephesus for my 49th birthday, the first time, There was a joke with that. Is I went for my 50th birthday, and when I went to fill my passport, I'm like, this is my 49th birthday. So Edge thinks I just really lied and wanted to go there from, but. This is Ephesus. So, you know when you read Ephesians in the Bible, this is the ruins in Ephesus. And we walked around Ephesus, and it was a great time. I was so blown away. We saw where they think Paul had his tent-making business. And they showed us different areas in Ephesus. And then after we went through this city and took the tour and around all the ruins, we went to the ceramic place where they actually make the pottery. Now, in the Old Testament, of course, they didn't have glass at that time. They had pottery. So they would take the clay and any kind of a vessel that they needed, they made out of clay. The temple walls were lined with beautiful vessels. I love it. Because some were just meant to be beautiful. They just sat on that shelf for the artistic ability alone. Some held things. Some were used to pour. Some were used for other things in the service. They all had a purpose in the temple. You have a purpose in God's kingdom. You have a spot, either on the wall or to be used in service. God has that reserved for you. So I watched the process of the potter, and I thought about Jeremiah. And I thought about what God did in his life. In Jeremiah 18, it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Has God ever caused you to hear his word? Sometimes it's just like he just causes me to hear that word. I can be talking to someone and just all of a sudden that word will just come point blank. It's like, wow, I hear that. I hear that. Or I see that. Or I sense that. He causes it. He's always at work in our life. And I found in my life it's not the big, huge events in my life that God shows up or that I hear him. It's those normal, mundane, daily times in my life where he speaks the truth to me. At the shower, I don't know about you, but man, the shower is where I just hear God like crazy. Perhaps it's the only place I don't talk. I'll sing, but I don't talk. But I'll just hear things all the time about the church, about myself in the shower. And I don't know if it's the water coming down, whatever, but wherever it is, it's a normal part of my daily routine. And God meets in the normal. The supernatural God meets in our normal lives. I love that. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. There are no accidents in God's kingdom. I look back and I say, God, the normal things in my life, and you orchestrated. I told you guys when I went to Bible college, I was working in a hardware store. And here I was asking God, okay, I'm dating this girl. I'm like, I'm not going to move to seminary outside of the country or Bible college outside of the country or the state or anything. I need it to be close enough to where I can come home on the weekends to be with her. So here I am in the hardware store, the place I hated in my life the most. Actually, I love hardware stores now, but I had to work. So I was like 15 and I'm working in the hardware store. And you know what I hated the most? The nails. Not my nails, but the nails. My dad did not believe in easy stuff. So there was no claw. I had to use my hands to actually dig nails out of the bin and weigh them. I hated that. You know why? Not because it hurt, but because my hands got dirty. I'm serious. If you work with nails, they're like filthy, and I hated that. So I would be doing the nails or the paint and all these things, and a friend from high school comes in with a brochure in his hand. And I said, hey, Alan, how are you? Now, Alan was a Christian, and I was in an area, a pretty much Catholic area, so that's pretty much all that was around, except I was at a Baptist church. But Alan comes in, and I said, what's your name? He goes, I don't know why I brought this in here. He said, I got this in the mail today. This is July, and I'm praying about going to Bible college. He said, I got this in the mail today, and I'm not sure why I'm bringing it here. Would you be interested in this? I said, what is it? He says, it's a catalog to a Bible college in Baton Rouge. Never heard of that Bible college, never thought about it, but right then God said, this is it. You see, in the normal times in our life, he does the supernatural and the supernormal in our life. He meets us right where we are, and he will cause us to hear his words. Then he says, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. Jeremiah was surrounded with potters. It was like butchers at that time. There were potters all over the place because that's really the only vessels that they had to use. So it wasn't anything special about a potter. It was this time, this day, God wanted to show him something. Be in tune for those times. Be in tune for that sign as you're going down the street, the billboard. Be in tune for those things that God wants to speak to you during your normal daily life. And then it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So he's making this vessel, and he's starting the process, and it's not quite what he wants, so he remakes it into something else. That's another sermon. That's good. Good preaching. Then the word of the Lord came to me, oh, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. You know, we are the clay and he is the potter. He wants to make us into something beautiful. But there's really four revelations I believe God was showing Jeremiah in this chapter. He was showing him the potter, God, the pot, who is us, the process, and then the purpose. Now, Father, I just pray that you, in a short amount of time, allow me to give exactly what you want me to give as we go forward. Looking at this verse, Jeremiah is going down there and he says, I want you to see the potter, because he says, I went down to the potter's house and there he was. God, first and foremost, in anything you're doing in your life, wants you to see the first thing is him. Do you know God? I don't know, you know God. Or do you just know about God? You see, a lot of times people have studied about God, but do they know him? The Bible says Adam knew Eve and she conceived. Not about, he might have known about Eve, but when he knew her, when he had that intimate relationship with her, is when birth took place. When you have that intimate connection with God, spiritual birth will take place in your life. It's not just hearing about him. It's really that one-on-one relationship, that one-on-one time, that one-on-one conversation. And when that takes place, you're having that interaction, and all of a sudden, you're pregnant spiritually. That's when God speaks things to your heart. God is constant. He is consistent. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord and I change not. That's Old Testament. What about New Testament? Well, then he goes on in Hebrews to say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you understand that God doesn't change? You can read the stories in the Bible, and he's the same God we're serving today. The one who split the Red Sea for Moses can split the Red Seas in your life because he's the same God. The Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He is not changing. I had this on my Facebook this a couple of days ago. And it said, God never changes, but he can change anything. You see, God is faithful, and he does not change. You can put it to the bank. You can trust him. People change. Some of you have had parents that have not been good to you, and that's your image of God because of your father and things that have taken place. God is not like our earthly fathers. Do you understand how much that forms your conception of God? Or a father figure in your life? If your father didn't have time for you, then you feel like God doesn't have time for you, and you feel like you're bothering him. You don't bother God when you come to him. He is always going to be there for us. He's always constant. He's also self-existent. He is not dependent on anything. Colossians 1:17 says, he himself existed before all, say all things, and in him and all things are held together. It's kind of, how many of you have studied creationism, or you know how they say the Big Bang Theory? I didn't have a problem with that. When I was in school, they were teaching the Big Bang Theory, and a lot of my Christian friends were like, oh, I don't believe that. I'm like, oh, actually, I do. They're like, you believe in the Big Bang? I said, absolutely. To me, this makes sense. You know why? Because the Bible says he spoke the world into existence by one word. Boom. That's a big bang, honey. And it says, and with that word, he still upholds that world. One word from God created the whole universe and still holds it together. That's the God we serve. And we look at our little things in our life and saying, God, you can't do this. Oh, let me tell you, he can. This past week, our house is 8 years old. And we had a little leak in the roof, so we called out a roofer, someone that was suggested to Ed, and he contacted him, and he came out. And his word to me was, oh, how old is your house, 20 years? I'm like, no, it's 8 years. He's like, that roof looks 20 years old. And about long story short, he says, you need a new roof. So I don't know, any of you just have $15,000 that you can just give that, but if you can, come see us and pay for a roof. We'd love that, but... So, all of a sudden, boom, that situation's in your life. Now, it's a roof, so it's not like you can do without a roof, right? It's like, God, so your first reaction is fear, right? Okay, and then the second reaction is, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make this work? That's Keith trying to get in the plan. Okay, God, let me figure out, maybe I can do these things. How can I get this to work? And all of a sudden, I heard him say, just trust me. I'm like, okay. That's a hard thing to do. And so grateful for, and David, I'm so grateful because he emailed me and said, I'm praying for you. I really feel like Lord God is telling me to pray for you right at that time when I'm going through this. He says this. And so I said, okay, God, I'm just going to praise you. I am going to thank you. I'm going to praise you. And somehow you're going to take care of it. So the last thing he said was, the roofer said, that the company that makes that shingle, those shingles, he thought was a company that had defective shingles and that we probably should contact that company. So I went on the internet and I started looking at that company, and sure enough, they have tons of lawsuits about them with that shingle. So, okay, maybe God's going to do it this way. But then I read that they have won some cases and they're no longer paying out and nobody can even reach them anymore. They're out of business, all this kind of stuff. Long story short is that in all of this, the insurance company came out and he said, I think we're going to get you a new roof. So I will know on Wednesday if God did it that way. Never thought that would take place. Do you see what I'm saying? I was stressing over something that still I know, and even if it's not the insurance company, he will take care of it. Because he's the same God who created the heavens and the earth and still holds that up with that word. He will take care of us. The birds don't worry about it. That's what Matthew says. The birds don't worry about it. They know God will take care of them. He's omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Nothing is too difficult for God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. His understanding has no limit. He knows it all. He's omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Where can I go? He's omnipresent. Where can I go from God? You can't go anywhere from God because he is everywhere. Sometimes I think, God, are you really here? You ever felt that? I'm like, we come in here and it's easy because Pastor Deb plays the guitar and Martin plays the flute and they sing and we worship and we hear great messages. But I'm talking about in the middle of the day, sometimes you feel like, God, are you really here? David felt that way. Now, David is my favorite Bible character, although I am apparently an Aaron, according to the study that we did yesterday. My two least favorite Bible characters. I'm not a big fan of Peter. I felt Peter was impulsive. And of course, now I'm finding out that's who I am. I'm embracing Peter now. I'm like, okay, I embrace that part of my life. But David says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. What I'm saying is you don't have to change anything for God to be right there. You don't have to think a certain way. You don't have to act a certain way. He is right here. He is right here. I love the manifest presence of God. I love the abiding presence of God. I just love his presence. The second thing that Jeremiah saw was the pot. That's you and me. It said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel. This is very important because it's not saying that the vessel was bad. See, God doesn't make mistakes. You're created the way he created you for a reason. But sometimes we may make decisions in our life that do cause us to have to be molded in a different way in our life. Thank God. But we may have a beautiful vessel already created, and all of a sudden we make a really bad decision, and now it has to be redone. That's a painful process. I mean, it sounds easy, but that's not easy. Here it is, the third thing, the third revelation, the process. When you make clay, there are five steps that you take when making clay. You know, you see this. This is kind of funny. You see the they've got the axle and the two circles at the bottom. So they use their foot and they begin to turn that table around and round. It's kind of funny. When I was at Travelport working as a trainer, I went up to Knoxville, Tennessee. And this was in the 80s. And I went to Knoxville, Tennessee, and they were just getting computers into their office. This agent had never had a computer before. And my job was to go into a travel agent's office who had never had a computer and train them on computers. Sounds like fun, right? So it was. I actually loved it. But I walked in, and I remember this wonderful little lady. She must have been in her late 60s, early 70s. And she had that computer monitor on her table because the installer set all that up for her. And she had everything plugged in correctly, but the mouse was on the floor. And she's trying her hardest to move that mouse with her foot. And I'm seeing the cursor move up and down. And she says, "Honey, this is just so hard." And I said, "Well, you know what works better than the floor is when you pick it up and you put it here. And this is a little pad." She goes, "Oh, that's so much easier." "Well, honey, my sewing machine has a pedal on the floor. So I just thought this was going to make this thing move faster." This is what reminds me of that. This potter's got that pedal on the floor and goes faster and faster and faster, or slower depending on the process. There are five steps when he's making that vessel. The first one is the water. He will take the piece of clay that's been out of the dirt. Now, he couldn't go to Michael's and buy clay. This clay comes out of the ground. So he takes the clay, and the first thing is he drops that clay into the water. Why is he doing that? There's a couple of reasons why he's doing that. One, there's dirt on that clay. I mean, it's been outside. There might be straw. There might be rocks. There might be pebbles. There might be dirt. And he knows that those are going to impede the formation of the vessel. So he drops the clay into the water, and those things that are impure begin to float to the top of the water. It's cleansing. He says in his word that we are washed with the word of God. Now, Jesus is the Word of God, and he is who washes us. When we get into the Word, it cleanses us more and more and more. So those things in our life that might be harmful to the process begin to float up to the top and away from the clay by the washing of the Word. The second part of why he drops it in the water is because that clay is not soft. This is an arid region. It's hard. So when he drops it into the clay, the clay becomes pliable and moldable. There's a scripture in Psalm 37:3, and it says, "Delight yourselves in the way of the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Have you ever heard that? Man, for the charismatic church, they love that scripture. Woo! Delight, he's going to give me everything I want. But when you go into the original language, when you go into the Hebrew, that word delight means be pliable. Doesn't mean be happy. So if we read the scripture correctly, it says, be pliable in the ways of the Lord, and then he will give you the desires of your heart, because his heart is now your heart. You are now being molded into his image. So all those things that you thought you wanted, not so important anymore. That huge house, car, all that stuff, that's great, but that's not what you're wanting now. You're wanting the real. Be pliable in the ways of the Lord. He'll give you desires of your heart. So he drops that clay into the water, and now that clay is getting cleaner, and it's getting softer. And then he takes that clay out, and he's about to do the second step. This is probably one of the most painful steps he does. They don't just place the clay nicely on the table. They take it with all of their force, and they cast that clay against the rock. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, they will cast it against the rock. That sounds kind of mean. No, the potter knows that if there are air bubbles left in that clay, they need to be casted out. I'm talking about demons. Those things in your life, roots of bitterness, roots of self-worth, all these things that you struggle with, that God is going to cast you over and over again against the rock. The rock is Jesus. So he's casting you against the rock. You may say, I don't want to be cast there. Just keep these bubbles in me. Can't you make it easy? Can't you just allow it to be an easy process? But the potter is smarter than the clay. And the potter knows that if there are any air bubbles left in that clay, when it goes through the fire, it's going to burst. And every step that's already been taken is destroyed. Sometimes we pray for God to deliver us from these things, and it's God doing it. I guarantee you, some of you have bubbles of impatience in your life. God will make ample opportunity for you to be cast against a stone to get those bubbles out. And until we start making the right decisions about that, it's going to keep happening. I have a friend when I was at WorldSpan, and they had a problem with so many people all the time. I mean, they were probably the problem, but I didn't say that. But so they would always move cubicles or change jobs over and over again. I can't believe they always put me next to these people who are so negative. Interesting. So they would change jobs. Try something else. I'm going to go to another department. All of a sudden, they would be next to somebody else who was worse. Until you change that thought of, I need to let this process work out. I need to go through the pain and go through that process of, you know what? I need to think differently. I react the same way all the time to the same thing, but now maybe I need to think differently. And all of a sudden, that air bubble is going to be gone. The more that you do it, it's just like exercise, the easier it's going to become. So he casts that clay against the rock. That clay is now rock, and the next step is the wheel. Oh, some of you are right here now. So the potter begins that process. And the clay starts to go in circles. And in circles. And in circles. Over and over again. The same process, the same things in my life. And you're like, get me off of this wheel. But the potter knows he has to get that speed up because he's about to dig his hands into the clay. That's one of the most painful parts. Because on that wheel, as it's going around, the potter begins to put a little bit of pressure against the clay. Have you ever felt pressure before? Have you felt God's pressure? A lot of times we rebuke it. Jesus' name, I rebuke that. And God's like, why do you keep rebuking me, Keith? I'm the one causing the pressure. We think, oh, it's going to be all easy. No, he knows we need pressure to form and make us. He knows we need pressure in our life to build our character. He knows we need to go through these things because he's the potter. It grows us. The pressure allows him to form us. That's good. If it's not centered, it requires more pressure. So he is going to center us and put that pressure. Oh, stay centered and we'll need less pressure. Amen. So he's going to do that in our life to where when you're centered, you're going to grow upward. That's the wheel. What he also does is he begins to take excess parts of that clay away. Ouch. God, that's part of me. He says, yeah, but for what I want to do in your life, that's not what I need right now. That hurts. Some of us are so proud of that one area of our life, ooh, that when it's cut away, it's a painful process. It does. But he knows what he's doing because he's the potter. So he cuts those pieces away, and all of a sudden you begin to see, wow, it's lighter without those pieces. Here I was dragging this around thinking I needed those pieces in my life. And actually, I'm more nimble. I'm moving quicker. This is being more focused because those parts of my life are not there for this process. Then comes the next story. After he digs his hands into us, he centers us, he makes us into this beautiful vessel. It's not done. This is a very difficult part for anybody who's been in ministry. He takes that vessel that's already formed, colored, ready, and he puts it on a shelf. Ugh. Really? God, do you know I went to Bible college and seminary? Do you know I've done all these things in my life? And here you are having me sit on a shelf. I went through that for a long time. I came to terms with who I really was, and for some strange reason, the Assemblies of God did not agree with me. And they said, sorry, goodbye, boop. And here I am saying, okay, now what? I've spent 8 years of education that I will never use again. This is my thoughts. So I'll go to travel school, do something completely different. Put me on a shelf. So, God, I don't understand it, but I know you still are in control. I may not understand every facet of this, but I know you are in control, and I will just stay on that. So here you are on the shelf, and the reason he does that is because it takes time to cure. It takes time for that vessel to cure and to get solid. And then the very last step, the fire. Yeah. It can be the most beautiful vessel, the most centered vessel. It can be cured, but until it's put through the fire, it will never be able to be used to hold anything. We rebuke the fire sometimes. You see, those things that we're going through in our life is not the enemy sometimes. Sometimes it's God's fire saying, now, let me turn up the heat a little bit so that you can really find where your faith is fixed. During the process of the fire, if one of those air bubbles was still left in, that's going to burst during that time. And the process starts all over again. Now, I'm not saying this. You can look at this as one part of your life. I see us vessels, constant vessels, became constant vessels in my life. Because I think I'm more than one vessel. I think I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a friend. I have all of these areas of my life, and God has all these things, and sometimes those things have to be restarted again or redone because those air bubbles are in there. The one interesting thing about the fire, it's the only time in the whole process that you cannot have one vessel near another vessel. You see, the fire will not allow you to have anyone there with you. I mean, you might be in the same oven, but they can't be touching you or else you're going to meld together. And that's called codependency. We don't like that. Oh, but I want to help them in the fire. No, leave the fire alone. It's not for you. Not for me. Those times in the fire are for the potter and the pot. To burn up all of that stuff in our life to make us sure and strong. He goes on in this verse, and this is my favorite verses, and Tracy, I know it's one of your favorite verses. Fear not, for I have formed you, and I am with you. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the deep waters, oh, Jeff, this was your scripture when you got baptized. Ed gave you the scripture. Remember that? We had a baptism in Lake Lanier years ago, and Ed always, the Lord gives him scriptures for people being baptized, and he gives Jeff, when you walk through the deep waters, I will be with you. You will go through the rivers of difficulty. You will not drown. That was his verse, and like the next week, or right after that, he's a cop, the next week he had to rescue someone. The floods that came, and he said that scripture came to his mind. You see, those are the things that God says, I am there with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, your Savior. I think of Daniel and the lion's den. Those fires were there, but yet he came out not even smelling like smoke. So today, let him be the potter in your life. All we have to do is be the clay. We have to allow him to do that. So I have one thing the Lord told me to tell you at the very end of my sermon. Stay on the wheel. Don't get off. Stay on the wheel because he knows what he's doing. And it may hurt, but at the end, you're going to see that he has made the vessel the way he wants that vessel to be. Amen. Would you stand with me for a second? Father, I thank you that you are the potter. We may not understand it, but you know what you're doing. You have a plan for us. And you're a good potter. You have a plan for Trent's life. He has a plan for your life. You're not out there by yourself. He has a plan for your life. It may not feel good, and you may, and we all do, want to buck against it, but just allow him to do it. Because he has a plan for your life. Father, I pray that you will just minister to us today and give us that hope that you are the one who is in control of every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.